اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، اللهم لك الحمد إذا رضيت، اللهم لك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم لك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. والله أمس كريم الله، أمس forgiving الله. You are كريم، You are the one who gives without the person being deserving of it. We don't deserve your forgiveness, but you are Kareem, therefore forgive us. We have wronged ourselves. We confess our sins. We are regretful of, we are remorseful of our sins. We confess, we acknowledge, we accept we have wronged ourselves. O Allah, forgive us. You are most forgiving. You have created us. You know our weaknesses. You know, you are most knowing of our weaknesses because you have created us. Therefore, forgive us. We don't deserve your forgiveness, but we beg your forgiveness. You are Afuwun, you are Kareem. Therefore, forgive us. O Allah, make the last days of our life the best days. Allahumma ja'al khayra ayyamina yawman alqaka fih. Allah, make the best of our days the day we meet you. Make the days, the last days of our lives, make that we yearn to meet you. Like how Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, people around him were crying, but he was laughing and he was saying, "Ghadan nalqa Muhammadan wa hizbah," that tomorrow we'll meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Make that last moments of ours the best days of our lives. Oh Allah, grant us maut in Medina or in Mecca or wherever it may be, but in your obedience. Oh Allah, forgive us. Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. La ilaha illa anta al-halimul kareem. Subhanaka rabbil arshil azim. والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرت، ولا هما إلا فرجت، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا رحم الراحمين. والله forgive our sins. Forgive our sins we committed intentionally and our sins we committed mistakenly. Forgive our major sins. Forgive our minor sins. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana kullah, diqqaha wa jillaha, awwalaha wa akhiraha, alaniyataha wa sirraha. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min al-khayri kullih, ajilihi wa ajilih, ma alimna minha wa ma lam na'lam, wa na'udhu bika min al-sharri kullih, ajilihi wa ajilih, ma alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها، دقها وجلها، أولها وآخرها، علانيتها وسرها. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Isa alayhi salam says, "Do not make the world your master, or else it will enslave you. Deposit your possessions with Allah Ta'ala, where no harm can come to them. The wealth lying in the treasuries of the world may go to waste at any time, but no mishap can occur to the treasury of Allah Ta'ala. He also says, one side of the deprivation of the world is that acts of disobedience to Allah Ta'ala are committed in it. And another such sign is that no one can attain to the hereafter without forsaking worldly gains. Take heed and mind it well that love of this world is the source of every sin, and that a little while spent in following one's vain desires may lead to a long period of suffering. He also says, there are people whom the world seeks, and others who seek the world. It goes after those who seek the hereafter, and unwillingly lets them have their means of sustenance. As for those who seek this world, the hereafter does not care for them till death lays its hand on them. They die without having achieved any gains of the Akhirah. It is said that once Sulaiman alayhi salam was flying on his throne with his armies, while birds spread their wings above him to protect him from the sun. And the courtiers from among the jinns and men sat with him on either side. He came upon a saint who said, Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon you such a vast kingdom. Sulaiman alayhi salam thereupon said, the credit entered into a believer's book of deeds for reciting Subhanallah once is far greater in value than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman. For this kingdom shall come to an end soon enough, and the blessings of Subhanallah will endure permanently. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, he who seeks this world, making it his ultimate aim in life, Allah Ta'ala has no regard for him and afflicts him with four things. Number one, an anxiety that has no ending, that is, he always remains anxious to increase his income. Number two, an occupation leaving him no spare time. Number three, a neediness which deprives him of any feeling of contentment. When his income increases, the expenses also increase, and the income always seems to be insufficient. Number four, unending hopes about the distant future, which can never be fulfilled.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم One person made dua in order to meet Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam. There are those people whom Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam himself goes out to meet, and there are those that seek and tire themselves in order to meet Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam. Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam came to meet Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the king of Balkh. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi didn't pay a lot of attention to him. Khidr alayhi salam was naturally surprised that where the whole world looks out to meet me, and I have come of my own to meet you, and you're not paying any attention. Was so absorbed in remembrance of Allah Ta'ala that his mind couldn't go anywhere else. So he asked him, I've come of my own to meet you, and you're not paying any attention to me. make some dua. So Ibrahim al-Azam rahmatullahi was not still interested. No, you make some dua. Request me for some dua. So Ibrahim al-Azam rahmatullahi says, all right, since you are insisting that I should ask you for some dua, then make dua that I become a Nabi. So Khizr says, no, that can't happen. Ibrahim says that means everything is decreed. When it's decreed, then what's the point in me asking you to make dua for me? The story is being related, not that we also have that attitude, but to show the effect of zikr. The person is totally focused towards Allah Ta'ala, then it would seem like he's not concerned about the world. He's not concerned about getting any type of a worldly thing done for him. His heart is overcontent, his full capacity. He may have not anything. He may not have anything of the material, but his heart feels very, very content and very much relaxed and ease. So this comes as a result of a person turning entirely to Allah Ta'ala. The feelings of anxiety, want, etc. is when our hearts are not totally towards Him. To that extent that our hearts are not focused towards Him, do we feel the need of, we feel needy, we feel that I still need to get something short, something not yet done. One person was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi with his head buried in his thighs. So Khidr alayhi salam told him, see, there's a halqa of hadith of Abdul Razak, you know, Musannaf Abdul Razak. So he's teaching hadith, and there are people from far and wide that have come to learn hadith by him. Why don't you join up? So that person is not interested. So no, I'm requesting you that there is a person that is teaching hadith, Musannaf Abdul Razak, world famous person, why don't you learn by him? So he just raised the head a little bit and he says, well, that group, they are learning hadith from Razak. They are learning hadith from Abdul Razak. And I am learning hadith from Razak himself. They are learning from Abdul Razak. And I am learning hadith from Razak himself. So Khidr al-Islam looked up at him and says, it seems like you are very someone of very high ranking. Then who are you? Khidr al-Islam asked, who am I? Seems like you are a person of some very high ranking. So tell me, who am I? So he looked a little bit, he said, if my firasat is right, then you are Khidr alayhi salam. So on that occasion, Khidr alayhi salam says, there are such servants of Allah Ta'ala in the world that I also can't recognize. So there are some of the awliya-i kiram, but great people also don't recognize them. But within them, they have reached the heights. So this problem that he is showing us is that we're not totally focused. Focus somewhat, but not like it's supposed to be. So then, to the extent that we're not focused, we feel in need, we feel anxiety. We have worries, we have problems, troubles, etc., to the extent that we are not focused in that direction. The moment the heart is absorbed, you don't want it. What's coming, what's going, is not a concern. Now, the heart and the mind has to be built up in that manner, gradually. One person, for approximately 1 or 2 years, he made another number Shoaim, Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam. So after that period, Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam caught to him and introduced himself that I am Khidr. So you were requesting that you could meet me. I am here now. What do you want? So he says that I request that I become very wealthy. That's my request. That's my desire. That is what I'm aspiring for. That I become extremely wealthy. So he says that this is not something that is appropriate. Well, it says, but this is what I've been aspiring for. Now that you asked me, so this is what I'm aspiring for. All right, since you're aspiring for the same, then what I will suggest to you, that you go around Delhi, entire Delhi you go around, and you inspect the conditions of the wealthy that are in Delhi, and after you have made a detailed examination, then will I meet you. I give you a time, whether 1 year, 7 months, 8 months, 10 months, whatever period you require to do this exercise, then you may complete this exercise and we'll meet again. We'll meet at the same spot. So he went around and he saw a very wealthy, very prosperous jeweler. Like you won't see. Like how you have in the Haram Sharif, right? On the first street, you know. Mujawharat. An extremely big shop. He's working in silver and gold, diamonds, platinum, etc. Like you can't imagine, so much he's working in. He's got workers, attendants, showrooms, and the type of jewelry that you can think of, he's got everything. Phenomenal business, crowds of people are just coming in and going out, coming in, going out. So yeah, this is what I want. He estimated that person is selling gold every day, his daily sales is ranging about 10 kilos, so much of gold he's selling. Imagine what money he's making. So after he's deliberated carefully, so let me go and speak to him. Let me go and speak to the boss. Then my exercise will be complete. Because I don't want it that I ask for this without me asking the boss. Let me ask him, let's see what he has to say about it. Something may seem to be appealing to me, but it may not be like how I would imagine it to be. So if I asked him, then my homework is complete, and then I can embark on this. he went up to his to the boss and he says, you know what, this is my story and this is what I'm in search of. What's your suggestion? He said, for Allah Pak's sake, don't ever make this type of a dua. Why? I shouldn't make this type of a dua. I see you so plump and enjoyable, attendance and your children and what you've got, you know. See your buildings, your cars, and the type of life you're leading. So this is an excellent thing. This is what I need in my life. He said, no, for Allah's sake, you don't make this type of dua. But why? So he said, you see this, what you see, my children, they're not my children. Then, but you're saying some beta, beta, beta. So how come you say that it's not your children? I'm telling you it's not my children, believe me. But how come? You're calling them beta, then you're treating them like your children, you're giving them like what you would give a child, your own blood. So he says, you know, since you're insisting that you want to know, let me tell you the story. Some years ago, my wife had taken seriously ill. She was about dying. And I had just married her. I was very fond, very, very fond. Even before marriage, when I knew her, I was extremely fond of her. And then I got married to the girl of my choice. And just a couple of months into the marriage, and she became seriously ill, between life and death. I used to be at her bedside to try and give her the confidence and the comfort. And she was worried that once I die, once she dies, and you men can't trust them, that they'll remarry, finished. One driver is gone next time, you got the next driver. They change the driver. You can't trust them, you can't rely. The love of yours is not trustworthy, not reliable. He said, no, you take my word, and I'll never remarry. He said, no, I don't trust you. When she kept on denying, said, I don't trust you. So he went and he castrated himself. Now you believe me now. Anyway, now that he castrated himself, she became quite comfortable, but then she began to recover. Now she was between life and death. Now she's on the road of recovery. Young, 18, 19 years of age, and she's recovered full. Now she's recovered fully. She's also got feelings, and I can't do anything. I'm helpless. When I'm helpless, then she has to complete her feelings. So whoever she would get, and she would fulfill her feelings in that way. So these children are not my children. But I cannot say that they're not my children. Otherwise the world will want to know why I'm denying my children. I can't reveal my entire story in front of everybody. But your story is quite strange. You met Khizr alayhi salam and all that. So I'm just exposing myself to you. Otherwise they're not my children. Now I'm living in perpetual hell. So I ask you not to ask for such a dua. This is, you're asking what you're asking for. You're asking for just for trouble. It doesn't seem, it isn't like what it appears to be. It appears attractive, it appears very luring and interesting, but But it's not like how it appears to be. It's something else totally. Tana Bhuvan once there was some Miyaji. Miyaji was like a teacher in those days. Teaching children, so they call him a Miyaji. Perhaps a little bit of basic language and basic mathematics. These are the type of things he was teaching. So the Miyaji had a case or a container. In that container he had his 100 gold coins. And without fail, every day he would go into his room, it was adjoining the masjid or something, and open the container, he'll count 1, 2, 100, and the amount of satisfaction he gets, he leaves it and he sleeps. So the Miyaji had to go to Saharanpur from Tana Bhuvan. So Saharanpur to Tana Bhuvan is about 35-40 km. So in India, that's like a whole day's event, you know. Can't do it in 1 hour. We're traveling. So the Miyaji had to go to Saharanpur for some of his business. And the students, his students now, they knew that it's going to take a whole day. So they said, hey, let's go into the room. Let's see what's so interesting here. Because it counts. And they went into the room and they saw the gold coins. Well, just one is enough. One is enough for us. So they took out one, and it amounted to about 10,000 to 14,000 rands, one gold coin. And they arranged a feast, you know, one of its kind. All the type of food. And thinking to themselves, no, it's just one. Where is going to find out? You know, just take, won't make a difference. Meanwhile, they close the room, everything, they arrange the dawat nicely. And just when they started eating, the Miyaji pulled in. So the Miyaji asked now, "Bhai, this dawat is in aid of what? What is the occasion now, you know?" So the student said, "Ye sab tumhari jootiyon ki barkat hai. All your barakat, you know." Now he's eating and he's repeatedly asking also, "But what is this? Your barakat, bhai." Something went in his mind. He began to doubt the children. So, 3/4 into the dawat, he went into his room and to count the thing. He saw one thing, one shot. He's counting the second time, third time, he got a heart failure and he died. This was just around the time of the more time, right? He died. So, the ulama that were there, they said, "You know what, this money is cursed because it resulted in this person dying. So the cause of this person dying, it shows that money is cursed. There's no good in his money. Rather just bury him with that money. We won't use that money, we'll bury him with that money." So they buried him, and they buried him with that money, all gold, put it onto his chest, and they buried him. So, one person was observing all this, and he says, "Ye ulama ke dimag to ghis gaya hai. This ulama a little bit loose, you know? Right? In their minds a little bit, they've gone off now. Where you hear anybody taking so much of gold and just burning it at it?" He's observing the whole thing, so I let them go. They buried the person, the whole procedure is over. It's night time now, I've got enough time to dig and operate. You know. So he came right to the body. When he came to the body, he saw that gold all plastered on his chest. Plastered, he was stuck. That also is not stopping him. He saw this strange spectacle that the thing is like stuck there. So he went to reach one. The way he got burned, he had to jump off there. So this was that nahusa, you see. It was that misfortune. Sometimes when some persons contribute, you know, then I just long my mind, let's hope he doesn't send anything to the madrasa. Let's hope he doesn't send anything to the madrasa. And I think to myself, see, this person has got such a big fight in his camp, all on account of wealth. So that means that wealth of his got no goodness, so no barakat. If he had goodness, then he would have brought goodness to his own house. Right? Brought fight, troubles, brought dispute, court cases, etc. in his own house. You know, come here is going to cause problems for us as well. So, tumhara paisa, tumhare mubarak. Your wealth. Now, you can't tell the person on the face, but just know that his money mustn't come here. You can keep. So we, all of us, we like money, we get tempted. But we don't realize that wealth has got its own effect. Not all the time is that wealth enjoyed, not all the time it is something that's got blessing. Sometimes it's got blessing, and sometimes it is really stripped of all blessing. The person who's bringing it, who's getting it, he's coming in with trouble. Where there was happiness, now there's fights in his house. Where there was everything running smoothly in his house, now there's problems. Where there was no hurdles, now he's getting a bumpy ride. Everything is. In India, I won't tell you which place it happened, but in one place where a madrasa began to have some problems, some madrasa. So the Buzurganadin, they said, see, from the time this oil money came in, you know, oil of the Arab lands, since that, jab se wo tel ka paisa aaya, yahan par aag lag gaya. That wealth, when it poured in, then it just went into an inferno. It became an inferno. So we think many a time so that wealth must come in, wealth must come in, wealth must come in. The right dua to make is Rabbana Atina fid dunya hasana wa fid akhirati hasana. That Allah Ta'ala grant us the good in both the worlds. Not just the wealth in the world, but the good. So when you ask for good, then there will be good all around. If it was little, it was a lot. It will bring good. It will bring happiness. It will bring enjoyment. It will bring understanding. It will bring virtue. Because that wealth has got only good, nothing but good. But if that wealth has got this type of problems, today in his hands there will be problems with him. Shifted to your hands, create problem for you. So the better dua to ask for is Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana. That which is good, Allah will give it to me. In this world, the one that is striving for wealth, or this wealth, there's no end to his anxiety. There's no end to his worries, to his anxiety, to his worries. If you go and inspect the lives of many of the wealthy person, you will feel all of them to be pitiable. You will pity that wealthy person. Your life is smooth, you're sleeping well. Once examine his life, or what he is with anxiety now. I got this wealth here, what must do, how much do. I got this problem here, this worry, this commitment. I got this type of a lifestyle. What must I do? And when you don't have that wealth, then you don't have that anxiety. The Mawla says that a person extremely wealthy, so he built up a place overlooking a stream, like a prime spot, and he built up a palace, 4 or 5 acres of land in a prime spot, a couple of good millions, and he put up a nice building. So he sees that there is a poor peasant that is walking past with a bundle of sticks on his head, and he comes to that stream. So he drops down his bundle, he washes his hands and face and all that, and then he opens up a small parcel with thick bread, thick coarse bread, you know. So he's got that bread, dry bread and some salt, and he's enjoying it with a relish, you know. He's got that water that is passing through, so he's drinking that water and he's enjoying himself. He finished that roti, you know, thick bread, like half a loaf. He finished that half a loaf. And then he washed himself again. Nearby there was a brick. He took the brick, put his head over that brick, and he stepped. Could see now, his man is gone, finished. So easily he stepped. When he got up, so this wealthy person called him. "But you know, I want to talk to you. What happened? See the good health you've got, how easily you ate and enjoyed, and how easily you slept. I'm going to bargain half my wealth for what you have got. Because I got all this I've got, but I can't sleep nicely. I can't eat nicely. I have problems, difficulties, worries. And I say, you got no worry. So if it comes, it comes. It comes with a price, you see. We think it comes just like that, but it comes with a price. So the very root of happiness is contentment. In the condition Allah Pak has kept you, whether it's in constraints, difficulty, work moderately. You work moderately and then leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Why Allah Pak didn't give you this, why he gave that person, don't worry about that. You be happy with your lot. Someone has got more, someone has got less, someone has got very little, someone has got nothing. But just be happy with your lot. You'll be happy, you'll be contented. But the moment you know why he's got and I don't have, he's got this, and you're asking for problems. Then you must see, look at the people living in the jondol, shacks. How are they living? They don't even have what you have. They're also insan, they're also human beings. They're not animals. But they're living, they're quite comfortable, they're happy. So why are you selective that, no, I need to have this? What makes you different from the rest of the human beings? They are living like that. Sometimes you drive in town, you know, at night, 9, 10 o'clock. And in the cold winter's night, you see several people, they got cardboards and 1, 2 blankets. They got that down, and that's their home. On the streets, they are sleeping. Winter or summer, they are sleeping like that. So, wo bhi insan hai, they are human beings. You compare yourself to them. If you are comparing yourself to those people, to the Joneses, to those wealthy people, then on any day, did you compare yourself to this person here? That he's got this and I don't have it. So when you will think of yourself, you will compare yourself to those that are less privileged, then you'll be happy. The idea is to be happy. When you want that happiness, really, then that happiness comes with contentment. And that contentment comes when you reflect over those people that are lesser privileged than you, not those that are more privileged. And if you don't, you're not happy for that, then you will ever be toiling. Mental toil, trauma you'll always have, and you won't get anything more. It's the world is like this. It's like you're in a traffic, right? And this motor cars on all four directions, front of you, behind you, to the right, to the left motor car. You can't move. It's a jam now, you can't move. When you can't move, it's jammed up from all four directions and you're hooting now. So what's going to happen? See? You will add to your own anxiety. Right? And you will disturb the peace around as well. Those people in their cars, the front, behind, say, what's wrong with you, boy? What's wrong? Can you see we're all in the position, same predicament as yourself? What's the need to hoot? So you will disturb your peace and you will disturb the peace of the people that are around. The right thing is just hold on. The traffic will open up just now and you will move. But if you were to hoot there, so you will disturb your peace and the peace of the people around. So now that's the way of contentment, that's the way of happiness. Just be patient, be happy, carry on your life. You got half a bread today. Eat that, tomorrow you'll get a full bread also, inshallah. Love of Tawfiq Nasib.